Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Bet of Melachim Bet. Perek Bet is dramatic as we witness the last moments of Eliyahu Hanavi's life and his passing of the mantle of leadership to his apprentice, Elisha. We are clued into the fact that Eliyahu is about to die from the onset of the Perek, but are led along as events unfold until his actual exit. As we learned in Perek Aleph, the current dynamic of Melech and Navi was not evoking change. Was there a need for a change in leadership style in order to reach the king and the nation? As you will recall, back in Melechim Aleph, Perek Yotet, when Eliyahu runs away and is brought to Har Chorev, Hashem asks Eliyahu, Malacha po Eliyahu. Eliyahu responds with all the behaviors the nation is doing that are problematic. Hashem teaches the lesson of patience, of being soft rather than harsh, as he presents destructive forces such as fire, wind, and an earthquake before Eliyahu. But Hashem is not found in those, but only in the cold Mamadaka. Hashem then asks Eliyahu the same question again, presumably to see if Eliyahu understood. Malacha po Eliyahu. Eliyahu responds in the same manner he did before, showing that he is still holding on to his initial position that only through destructive forces will the nation learn their lesson. At that time, Hashem commands Eliyahu to anoint three people. One of these is Elisha the Navi, who we are introduced briefly to at the end of that perek. Eliyahu throws his mantle onto him, indicating that he is passing on his position of leadership to him. In Perek Aleph, we focused on Eliyahu residing on top of the mountain, away from humanity. When we're introduced to Elisha, he is among people and does not leave with Eliyahu until he says goodbye to his parents. He prides himself on his relationships with people and is eager to connect with Eliyahu. From the onset, it seems that Elisha's style will be different than Eliyahu's. In this Perek, we continue to see the difference in styles between the two Nevi'im. We witness Elisha's tenacity as he refuses to leave Eliyahu at any step along this final journey, despite Eliyahu's repeated requests, and we see Eliyahu's preference of being alone. We have also seen many allusions to Moshe Rabbeinu, especially back in Melechim Aleph Perek Yotet, with details such as the 40-day journey without eating, and the communication with Hashem on Har Chorev, Har Sinai, in the cave on the mountain. Also, it seems that the underlying message that Hashem was conveying to Eliyahu was to embody Moshe's leadership style of defending the nation as opposed to prosecuting them. Back to Melechim Bet, we can see several allusions to Moshe and the relationship he had with Yehoshua, his disciple. Eliyahu, just like Moshe, was able to transfer his leadership to his apprentice while still living. In both cases, there is a close relationship between teacher and student. The transfer of leadership between both Moshe and Yehoshua and Eliyahu and Elisha takes place be'Ever HaYarden. Both teachers and disciples perform splittings of bodies of water as well, each indicating a transition that is taking place. It is of note in this parak that we can appreciate the close relationship between Eliyahu and Elisha when comparing it with the B'nai Nevi'im, who do not share the same relationship and are kept more in the dark and at a distance from the events surrounding Eliyahu's death. The anticipation of Eliyahu's death is felt in every pasuk as Eliyahu and Elisha travel from one place to another and the B'nai Nevi'im make an appearance each time as well. Let's talk about this final journey and each stop along the way to crossing the Yarden. The order of the stops is they begin in Gilgal, travel to Beit El, Yericho, and then the Yarden itself. Gilgal, the starting point here, is the first city that B'nai Yisrael arrived at once they crossed the Yarden during the time of Yehoshua. It is a city that symbolizes a transition of leadership. Both Beit El and Yericho have conflicting associations when we think of events that transpired there in Jewish history. Beit El, the location of Yaakov's dream, where he encountered Hashem and named the place after Hashem, is the same Beit El that is now presently one of the two cities transformed into Avodah Zarah hubs, where Yeravam built temples with golden calves. Jericho is the site of the famous miracle, the first conquest in Israel that was done without any human warfare, when the walls miraculously fell. Yet Jericho was also the Ir Nidachat, the idolatrous city that Yehoshua placed a curse on anyone rebuilding. That curse remained intact until the time of Ahav, when Chiel defied the curse, representing a huge breach in the level of Yirat Hashem during current times. With Beit El and Jericho, one could focus on a positive association with the city or a negative one. Could this final tour be symbolizing a change in leadership perspective that will occur when Eliyahu passes the mantle to Elisha? Instead of focusing on causes for destruction, can there be a shift towards uncovering the good and room for improvement that exists within the same people? Instead of leading through fear of punishment, is there room to lead through building relationships and granting mercy, even when unwarranted? A classic example of this can be seen when Elisha returns to Jericho and cures their water without expecting anything from the people in return. Let's focus on the exchange at the Yarden itself. Eliyahu splits the Yarden using his rolled aderet, the mantle, the symbol of leadership. Once they cross, Eliyahu grants Elisha his parting request. What is significant about what Elisha asks for and how Eliyahu answers him? Elisha asks for a double portion of Eliyahu's spirit. On one hand, we can view this as Elisha being asked to be treated as the Bechor, receiving a double exclusive portion over the other Nevi'im. When Eliyahu was taken away, Elisha refers to him as Avi, my father. It is significant to note that when Elisha first followed Eliyahu, he bade farewell to his parents. Eliyahu has now assumed the role of Elisha's spiritual parent that he is separating from at this juncture. On a deeper level, Elisha's request to Eliyahu seems to be about asking for more spiritual bandwidth to overcome the challenges in front of him, to be successful where Eliyahu failed. In fact, we can view each of the miracles that Elisha performs subsequent to this event as having two miraculous elements to it, a double miracle. As I mentioned, Elisha's strength is in connecting with others and demonstrating mercy to undeserving people. It could be that in addition to the strength of his, he was asking also for a dose of Eliyahu's Midat Hadin before he dies to be used at times when appropriate. Having both leadership styles at his disposal will hopefully allow him to achieve spiritual success when one alone had failed. And that is what the Pishnayim is referring to. If we assume this last understanding, it can possibly lend insight into Eliyahu's response. He basically says to Elisha that he can't guarantee that his request can be provided. Hikshita lishol. And it will hinge on whether Hashem allows Elisha to witness Eliyahu's exit. Maybe through this response, Eliyahu is noting that he is unclear what is the best path going forward. It is up to Hashem. If Hashem allows Elisha to see Eliyahu being whisked away when others can't, maybe it is an indication that Hashem is allowing him to continue, in a sense, Eliyahu's path and style of leadership as well as his own, with the proper balance of din and rachamim. As we know from reading the Perek, Elisha is granted this request, and we will look to see the spirit of Eliyahu as well as his own in the miracles he performs. Eliyahu leaves the physical world in a se'ara, with a fiery chariot, which is symbolic of his M.O. The use of fire and dramatic events surrounded his tenure as Navi. He ascends to Shamayim, but is never actually states that he dies, and no body is found. Another similarity to Moshe, who has no physical burial spot. Maybe the chariot symbolizes that he is constantly being transported, whether to a Brit Milah or a Pesach Seder, or Amir Hashem to herald the coming of Mashiach. Eliyahu, while setting the bar too high for his generation and being unwilling to settle for less, is brought back by Hashem at times to witness occurrences when we as individuals or as a nation are committing ourselves to the right path. Elisha now retraces the steps he took together with Eliyahu. In fact, we see a revisiting of all the cities they stopped at on their way to the Yarden. The first visits lead to Eliyahu's end as Navi, culminating across the Yarden, while Elisha's visits to the same places on his return indicate his rise as Navi in Eliyahu's place. The first double miracle Elisha performs is when he splits the Yarden itself, using the same aderet of Eliyahu. He follows his master by replicating his miracle and officially marking the transition in Navi leadership, symbolized by the aderet itself. However, there's a notable difference. When Eliyahu split the Yarden, it was due to the merit of Eliyahu and Elisha, who both crossed. When Elisha returns alone, the same miracle takes place, but based on only the merit of one person, Elisha. Double the power than he had before. Performing this miracle earned him the respect of those who witnessed, and they declared that it was evident that Eliyahu's spirit now rests on Elisha. Despite this, the B'nai Nevi'im do not take Elisha at his word and look themselves for Eliyahu's body for 3 days before accepting defeat. The next miracle Elisha performs is in Yericho. The people in Yericho are not able to find drinkable water. They feel comfortable approaching Elisha with their situation. This can be viewed as a parallel situation to when the Jewish nation enter the desert after the splitting of the Yam Suf and find bitter water at Marah. Just as here, the people of Yericho complain about their water immediately after the splitting of the Yarden by Elisha. The miracle in Marah was performed by Moshe sticking a branch into the water to sweeten it. Definitely not something that by nature on its own would do the trick. In the case here, Elisha uses salt, something that should have worsened the condition of the water, which miraculously is able to cure the water and make it drinkable. What is interesting is that Elisha does not procure the salt himself, but rather asks the people to obtain it. Once he pours it in, he heals the water. This is an important strategy Elisha uses, involving the people in his miracles and making them take the first step towards receiving divine intervention. The double miracle here is that Elisha uses salt, which usually would make the water worse, and not only did it not harm the water, but transformed it to drinkable. What message can we see in the parallel to Moshe and Marah? In Sefer Shmot, B'nai Yisrael gradually build their relationship with Hashem as they work towards accepting the Torah at Har Sinai. At Marah, they experience Hashem as a God who cares about their well-being, is merciful, and provides for their daily needs. Elisha is taking a similar course of action. Most of Eliyahu's miracles were harsh, and actions like the drought removed sustenance from the people. Eliyahu proclaimed the drought in Yericho, following Chiel's rebuilding of the city. Elisha's way is being cultivated similar to Moshe's and is being done dafka in Yericho in order to counteract the negativity from Eliyahu, provide for the people, and seek to rebuild a positive association with Hashem and the Navi. Although Eliyahu might have said that the people of Yericho did not deserve a miracle, Elisha is willing to help them with minimal effort on their part. However, this parak ends with another supernatural event, very different than the first. When young boys came out of the city and ridicule Elisha, he takes a harsh approach and causes the miracle of the bears killing the children. These children, according to most Mefarshim, were coming from Yericho, the city where Elisha just performed the miracle with the water. They call Elisha bald. What is this about? Hopefully you recall the physical description of Eliyahu from Perek Aleph, where he's described as hairy. The insult here of calling Elisha bald can be seen symbolically as sending the message that Elisha is not on the same level as Eliyahu, showing disrespect for the Navi. Elisha is challenged here to act with Midat Hadin, similar to Eliyahu, to show that he can be like Eliyahu. There are some things that cannot be tolerated and deserve a harsh response, especially as he sets the tone in his beginning in his role as Navi. The double nature of this miracle is seen here as two bears come out instead of one, or others explain that there was no forest on the path between Yericho and Beit El. So firstly, Elisha miraculously summoned a forest, and then he created the bears to come out and attack. As if it wasn't clear enough that Elisha was invoking the spirit of Eliyahu and how he responded, his final destination in the Perek brings the message home. He travels to Har HaKarmel, Eliyahu's spot, up on a mountain. We can arrive at an interesting conclusion when we look at both of these stories together. In the first with the water, Elisha acts with undeserving mercy. In the second with the bears, he acts with unusual harshness. It is clear from the end of the perek that he does not have one way of dealing with all situations. It may be that this is to be his strength as Navi, to know when to give chances and when to take a strong, even destructive stand. When someone who has a tendency to be merciful acts harshly, his reaction can send a strong message and influence change. This could be where Eliyahu failed, in that he was only able to use a harsh approach and was not able to build those connections that effectuated significant change. We know that what this can be like as a parent. If we yell and scream all the time, then we are tuned out. If we are not a general yeller and show a strong reaction in rare situations, then our messages and reactions can be received. This perek leaves us optimistic that Elisha may be well-suited with his Pishnayim spirit of nevuah to take the strengths and holiness of Eliyahu, combined with his own love of people and building community, in order to influence the nation's return to serving Hashem. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.